You've been hearing from David George Haskell. He's a naturalist and evolutionary biologist, author of a wonderful book, The Forest Unseen, A Year's Watch in Nature. This has been The Recovery Zone on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Potter. I want to thank you, David, for being on the show, and thank Tammy,
thank you.
Our engineer.
It's been a pleasure.
And thank all of you for listening.
Tune in Wednesdays for an afternoon of jazz. Hosts of Jazz Lives, A Jazz World, and Jazz in the Afternoon play the very best in jazz music. From the historical to the present, and jazz of all stripes. Swinging, smoking, bluesy, funky, new and old, but all good. That's Wednesday afternoons from noon to 4 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. And here with me are three talented women. With me are Roberta S. Hunt, who is Assistant Professor in Black Studies and Women, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at Portland State University, and whose dissertation is the basis for My Walk Has Never Been Average. Thank you for coming in, Roberta.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Marilyn Keller, who is a singer and actor who is involved in My Walk Has Never Been Average. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And also with us is Skeeter Green, who is a model, actor, and lyricist. Thank you, Skeeter.
Thank you.
And you're in My Walk Has Never Been Average also.
Yes.
And we are talking about My Walk Has Never Been Average, Stories of Black Tradeswomen, a multimedia staged reading based on the lives of women whose stories are rarely told, black female construction workers. Oregon Tradeswomen, Inc. will present My Walk Has Never Been Average on Friday, this Friday, September 26th at 7:30 p.m. And it's at the Alberta Rose Theater. And we'll be talking more about that during this interview. So starting with you, Roberta, your research for your dissertation included profiles of 15 black female construction workers. How did you get interested in these women?
I was working with Oregon tradeswomen and helping women get into construction. And, you know, construction is one of the few opportunities that people can earn a living wage job without, earn a living wage career without having a college degree. And I was, I mean, this is fantastic. This supports families, and women want to do this work. And I was seeing a lot of white women come in and do this work, having mixed success. I mean, that the reality is in the U.S., 3% of the construction workforce are women. So the amount of sexism and racism and heterosexism that people experience is high. But I was also noticing that there weren't a lot of women of color that I was seeing. And I was like, where are we? So that's what got me going with my dissertation research. And then I crossed paths with Bonnie Ratner of the Red Door Project. And Bonnie said, "What we need to bring these to the stage." And I had thought, oh, well, maybe. And then a year went by. And I said, "Bonnie, let's try." And so Bonnie was instrumental in this process, and she is the co-writer of the staged reading. And we met up with Kate Duffley from Reed College, and we started doing a series of staged readings. So this is our fourth staged reading. This reading is being directed by Bonnie. Mm.
And did she tell you what about them made her so enthusiastic about bringing these stories of these women to the stage?
I think it was their heart. A lot of the women talked about very complex experiences of moments that nearly pushed them out of the industry and the ways that they came back, the ways that they found strength within themselves to stay, the ways that they fought for institutional change, and then the very human experiences of children and raising children and partnerships and friendships.
And Marilyn and Skeeter both are acting in this presentation. And maybe, Marilyn, you could pick up a little bit on that question that I was just asking Roberta, in that, well, first of all, tell us how you've been playing this in the previous readings of this production. So talk a little bit about your history with this project.
I received an email request to come to the first read, which was like a practice read through, so that Bonnie and Roberta could get an idea of the flow of the characterizations and the way the play was written. And I really enjoyed that. So when it was time to actually go on stage to be a part of that, I leapt at the chance. It's been enlightening for me, because for the past 30 plus years I've been living off the grid as a self-employed musician and actor. And so to have delineated for me the lives of people that have also been in non-conventional job spaces, who have, you know, thrown away the office attire and office attitudes and office in political infighting to go and use their hands and use their minds and their bodies to make their living, that was very intriguing to me. Also, my own family's history with employment and moving to increase employment opportunities. My father did that for our family when they were younger. My parents, both from Louisiana, small towns in Louisiana, and cousins and other relatives in California said, "Come out here, Art. You know, there's better work for you here." So he did that, and my mom followed him on the train with two young babies, two girls still in arms. Then he also moved to New Mexico on the same invitation. There's work for you out here. And while he was there, he educated himself or went back to school and became educated as an electrical engineer and worked for one of the defense contractors off the Air Force Base there outside of our little town in Alamogordo. And then when I was in high school, we came up to visit, and dropping back through Portland, an uncle told my father about better job opportunities, especially down on the riverfront and the shipyards. There was steel was still booming then, forestry was still booming then, and so my father got a job at a company where he was able to use his training, and I got to work there one summer. And I did hard hat work. I started off in the office, but it was not fun, and I didn't want to be there. And there were guys, the guys that were the high school age guys that were working, they were out in the plant. So we begged our fathers, the girls in the office that wanted to do that, we begged our fathers and the administration, and they allowed us to go and work out in the plant. It was a chemical plant. We produced chlorine gas for chlorine products. And I got to learn how to use pneumatic drills and wrenches, and I got to, you know, work with my hands and be outside of the office. So I've always loved that opportunity. And Wygena, actually, Skeeter plays one of my favorite characters in the play. She plays a lady welder. Wygena is her character. Mm-hmm. And had you done anything like that before?
No, I had never done anything like that. It's really fascinating to just sort of my character specifically is the oldest of the women and is actually retired, and she actually worked during the time of Rosie the Riveter. So, and it was fascinating to find that there were African American women in the factories at that time who did that type of work. It's just a beautiful thing to sort of like be able to bring that story to life.
Right, right. Yeah. And so that's your character.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about some of the challenges in portraying your character or understanding your character.
Well, I have to work with the age. I am not 83 years old. So making her have the weight and making her have the complexity of someone who has experienced not just growing up during that time, growing up before the Civil War, before segregation was gone, and then seeing all that has happened since then, it's just an honor to just sort of be able to just sort of bring that to life, bring that whole spirit, that whole woman to the stage.
Mm-hmm. And Marilyn, your character or characters that you have played during these productions, how about those? Who are they?
I played Shakina, a concrete contractor. Then I read for Shakina the first time. Then Vani, and now I'm playing Zeticia, a carpenter. Vani is a
utility worker,
and Zeticia is a carpenter. Each of the characters come from different backgrounds, but share the same heritage, share the same paths around and through our cultural difficulties as a nation. And so to come to that point of personal power, to say, I want to do this, I can do this, and you're not going to stop me from doing this job, and dealing with some pretty heinous behavior on the parts of their fellow workers, male workers, mostly male and white workers, but to still have that strength of spirit to get up in the morning, because you know they get up way earlier than most of us do. I tell people as a musician, if you call me before 10 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to reach me. You know, well, at 6 o'clock in the morning, they're already on the site, and they've been up and they've, you know, set up their work situation. Their office is myriad. It's all over the country. It's all over. It's up in the air. It's underground. It's in pipes. It's, you know, it's against the wall, you know. And these women, their bodies, the strength of their bodies, the strength of their hands to handle the tools, to handle the mental stress that you're under, to do the best that you can at all times, because that's mentioned throughout the play many times. African American workers, male and female, have to do 125% better than the average worker. And that, I love that, the title of the play, My Walk Has Never Been Average. And we were never allowed to be average, not in school, not in play, not in music, not in sports. We were never allowed to just be the bench sitter. We always had to get up and do, you know, that extra special over the top thing. And I think that has lifted humanity as a whole, because you're always reaching for that level of excellence, and you're in a season of excellence anyway. So why not go ahead and do the best that you possibly can?
You're listening to a discussion of My Walk Has Never Been Average. It's a multimedia staged reading, and you were just hearing from Marilyn Keller, singer and actor, and we also are speaking with Skeeter Green, model, actor, and lyricist, and also with us is Roberta S. Hunt, who is a professor, assistant professor at PSU, and her dissertation formed a basis for this production. And Roberta, what is it like for you to hear these women discussing these characters and knowing some of the women that you interviewed that the production is based upon? You're hearing them discuss their characters. Do they resonate with you and what you experienced when interviewing these women?
Yes, it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. You know, when people participated in my study, they said, well, we want you to do something. And we chose to do a theatrical piece because it gets more people talking about these issues around inclusion, around economic justice, around gender justice, racial justice in the workplace, and specifically in the trades, though the themes from the play do have broader significance. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I want the fact that so far about 400 folks have come to see our readings, and you know, that's 400 more people that when they are driving down MLK and they're looking at construction, they're starting to notice who's doing that work. Do you see women there? Do you see people of color there? And as our city is building more and more, I want us to be asking on every job that we see, is this workforce representative of our city? And if it's not, why not? Because the reality is people want to be a part of this. And so I care a lot about that. And it means a lot when I hear tradeswomen, black, white, Latina, saying, I resonate with what is on that stage. And when I hear queer women say, thank you for representing my household. And when I hear black women from other fields of work saying, oh yeah, that's not just construction. So I feel like we're doing something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I love about theater is that it opens people's hearts and that it can move past our stereotypes and past our assumptions towards a greater humanity, a greater connecting with the human. And we can see the places that are similar and the places that are different.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk for a minute about the actual production. Oregon Tradeswomen, Inc. is presenting this production of My Walk Has Never Been Average, and that's this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater. What's the involvement of Oregon Tradeswomen in this event?
Well, Oregon Tradeswomen is the reason that this is happening. So whoop, whoop. OTI, their Tradeswomen Leadership Institute is where they bring a lot of tradeswomen together to talk about their experiences, to celebrate their connection with each other, and to work on advocacy and leadership around women in this industry. So it's a really big deal for us to be presenting for them, and it's a huge honor that they are having us. And if it wasn't for Oregon Tradeswomen funded our first show, and so I owe them a lot.
I expect to hear a lot of signifying out in the audience. During this production, I want to hear some hooping and hollering, you know, some feet stomping and hands clapping, you know, fingers snapping. Yes, I've been there, done that, seen that, hated it, you know, loved it, made it through. I want to hear and see that out in the audience today. So
I hope so. I mean, I think what is really important for me is that that issues of race and issues of gender and issues of sexual orientation can be on the table together. And, you know, I was listening last night to Sharon Gary Smith was speaking at an event, and she said, and I'm going to botch up the quote, but she said, if we're not talking about all of these things together, then we have no movement. And, you know, I think that one of the challenges for the tradeswoman movement is the bringing together of all of these different pieces and joining that in broader struggle.
Mm-hmm. I really like the fact that we as artists sort of have the same situation in some respects in town, mm-hmm. that it's very difficult. I mean, we're lucky this season that we actually have some Black plays at Portland Center Stage and at Artist Rep as the season openers. And it's just wonderful to have sort of like have some recognition that our stories are stories that want to be heard, and to encourage people of color and working class people, especially young people, to come to theater. There's a lot of theater going on now that are telling stories that are need to be told, and that we love telling, that we actually love to tell.
And how do people find out more about the production? People who might be listening to this and want to refer back to something about it, is there information available on the web, or what would they do to find out about this production?
Yes, there's actually a Facebook page for My Walk Has Never Been Average, and it has the ticket information on there. Gold Star is now the latest place where you can get tickets, and there is a discount at this time. If people hurry, they might be able to get some tickets that are discounted.
Alberta Rose Theater is also selling tickets online and at the door.
And I would go to Oregon Tradeswomen Inc. Their web page to not just to find out about the show, but to walk around through their page and find out a little bit more about their entity, mm-hmm. here in the Northwest and across the country. I think probably.
Yeah.
You know, I can see this play going on the road, you know, under the auspices of, you know, and I can see Dr. Hunt sitting, you know, in front of a congressional, you know, committee answering questions, you know, for this existing administration, which has been very, very highly supportive and good advocate for getting America up and working. There's been a lot of money channeled into, you know, getting this country back on its line, but we need to be a little bit more involved in it personally and on a grassroots level. And I think this production and others like it possibly could help generate that kind of participatory attitude. But I think President Obama, maybe even Mrs. Obama, should know about this, mm. and would mm. become a, you know, a high profile, you know, advocate and supporter for this knowledge being, you know, given to our country and the world.
Here, here.
Awesome. Do you have future plans for this production, Roberta?
Well, Bonnie and I are working to try to get it published so that other groups can pick it up and do it. We are also thinking about working on a documentary that kind of uses the play at the center. One of the things that for me is very significant about the play is that, you know, a lot of our diversity efforts in our country are focused on getting people in, but we're not asking what is it like to be there, and what does long-term retention look like? What is that experience? What is the leadership ladder look like? In what ways has the culture changed within an organization to create something new? Or are we simply replicating the same patriarchal,
half-hearted,
dominant ways of thinking that don't actually make anybody happy, right? And that includes, you know, white men. White men are not always having the best time either, uh-huh. Right? And so what I appreciate about these women's voices is that they're speaking to that, and they're really saying, what I want is to be respected when I come to work. What I want is that when I extend my hand to my partner on the job site, that they extend that hand back. Right? And that we're actually able to build something together as opposed to in opposition to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, attitudes have become very insisted and encrusted. You know, there's a center, a core of hurt and pain and denial in many instances, and anger and frustration. And then over that is this hard shell of defense, personal defense. You have to put up these walls in order to just get up and go to work. And so to come out of that, you're asking people to expose their inner vulnerable self. And the way you did it in this survey and the interviews, and then compacting those 15 into these six characters, it's explosive. You know, we want to build the tension so that people can know that people are going through what they're going through when they go onto these job sites and into these bid meetings. What were they called?
Pre-bid meetings.
There's still a lot of resistance to minority contractors, minority tradespeople being a part of this incredibly lucrative and huge business. There's enough work for everyone. There's more than enough work for everyone who wants to do this. But there's still this resistant core of people that don't want to share with anyone because they think once they do, they'll lose what they have. But you need to tell them, you know, you open up you broaden the horizons for everyone. Once we can learn that in blue-collar work, white-collar work, politics, religion, we'll get off this rock, but right now we're earthbound by our attitudes.
We just have a minute left. That was Marilyn Keller. She is in the production. My Walk Has Never Been Average. Also with us is Skeeter Green. Any short final comment, Skeeter?
Well, I think it's really interesting that the play, the hardships that you're talking about, the play also soars to a place where people work together, where people actually help each other. And it's pockets, you know, just little pop-ups of people doing this. But it shows that we can do it. We can change. There is hope. There is something to look forward to. The journey that the play makes, by the time you understand that there are some people who want there to be a different way, you're ready to join them and have this different way.
Great, great. I want to thank you all for coming in. Our time has run out. Thank you so much. It sounds wonderful. Look forward to the production and to hearing more about your successes. So thank you so much again, Skeeter Green, Marilyn Keller, and Roberta Hunt, all with My Walk Has Never Been Average this Friday, 7:30 at the Alberta Rose Theater.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for that, Kathleen. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting writers to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes through Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks, and they offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at nwconnector.net. And with that, we take leave of public affairs programming at KABU this morning, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Jazz with Nick coming right up immediately following the noon news headlines. Thanks for tuning in today.
This is KABU Headline News at Noon for Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. I'm Diane Erickson.
And I'm Patrick Wilson. In local news, a former TSA screener found guilty of drug smuggling at LAX was sentenced to 8 months in prison Monday. He admitted using airport contacts to smuggle 45 kilograms of cocaine, 4 milligrams of methamphetamine, and 22 milligrams of marijuana to fellow criminals over a six-month period in 2011. He was the last of 7 defendants in this case sentenced to federal prison.
In national news, many police departments are training their officers on how to better manage interactions with mentally ill and disturbed suspects. Officers are warned that they might need to deal with a range of mental disorders, as well as individuals impaired by alcohol and drugs. Almost 3,000 local and regional departments have attended week-long crisis intervention training sessions where they are urged to talk softly and be compassionate while remaining vigilant for potential threats.